Hallelujah.
Well, I hope I don't look as nervous as I feel this morning. I found out last night that I was going to be preaching this morning. I was expecting to hear Brother Collins. But we're believing God this morning. He's always faithful. Hallelujah. How many of you are thankful for the things the Lord has done for you? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that my Father has never left me nor forsaken me. He's always been beside me. I've got a lot to be thankful for this morning. A Pentecostal heritage. The Holy Ghost experience for myself. Salvation that was free. I've got a lot to be thankful for. We're going to preach to you this morning the best of our ability. We know that we did our best last night, but we're believing the Lord this morning that He's going to move. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 22. In verse 10. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him in his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jeroboam, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid from Athaliah, so that she slew him not. And he was with them hid in the house of God 6 years. And Athaliah reigned over the land. In the book of 2 Chronicles, still chapter 24, verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hasten it not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief and said unto him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. Skipping to verse 15. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king, and the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto him, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. With the help and with the grace of God this morning, I'd like to preach to you on what a way to say thanks. What a way to say thanks. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning. God, we ask for your holy anointing. God, we ask that you would break every yoke. God, that you would send the spirit of praise and of worship in this place today. God, we ask that you would anoint, that you would move in these altars, and that you would cause lives, oh God, to be drawn back to you. And Father, for us to lift you up in adoration, we'll give you praise and glory and honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What a way to say thanks. It's been said that gratitude is one of the greatest gifts that can be given. It's been said that if you want to make someone feel like they're appreciated, show them your gratitude. If you want to make someone feel like they've done all that they can do for you, tell them thank you. For you see, sometimes we're not able to give them great gifts, and we're not able to lift them up in front of men and women, but we're always able to say thanks. We're always able to say thank you. Two words that are not very hard. Two words that from the time I was a child, my mother taught me to say for every good gift that was given to me, and out of respect, every bad thing that happened to me. Thank you. One of the simplest concepts known to man. Thank you. But you see, we read how that Joash the king, when he was a child, was beset upon by a queen. We see that she wanted to take his life because she knew that he was the next heir to the crown. She knew that he was the next heir to the kingdom. And she didn't want it to leave her bloodline. And so she rose up to kill Joash. And the Bible says that Jehudiah took him and hid him in a bedchamber. Jehudiah the priest didn't want his life to be taken, and so he scooped him up and put him somewhere where he was safe and somewhere where he could be hid from this queen who desired to take his life. We read how that Jehudiah raised Joash in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that he raised him up to respect and obey the commandments of the Lord, and that he raised him up to fear God with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his mind. And he raised him up to obey the commandments of God. We read that Jehudiah raised Joash to the best of his ability. Did all that he could do to let him know the touch of God, to let him know the commandments of God, to let him know the presence of God. Jehudiah in no way shortchanged Joash. In no way did Jehudiah cheat Joash by the way that he raised him. But he gave him a foothold up. Not only did he save his life, but he trained him to be the king. Now just bear with me a minute. Let me build a foundation for you this morning. But we read how that Joash, while Jehudiah was alive, was possibly one of the greatest kings that Israel had ever had. He was possibly one of the greatest kings that there ever was, for the Bible says that he destroyed the groves and he restored the house of the Lord, and he put a chest out and he said, bring me the money that we might repair the house of God that is depleted and that has fallen away because we've lacked. We've fallen short in giving all that we could give to God. And while Jehudiah was alive, I can just picture him so proud of Joash saying, I raised this king. This king that now fears God, I raised him. I could see Jehudiah as he knelt down and he said, I raised Joash, and I'm thankful to God that he helped me to raise him in the fear of God. And we read how that Joash, it looked like Joash was doing all that he could do. It looked like Joash was giving all that he could give. But then, Lydia died. Johidia, the greatest influence on Joash's life, died. Gone. And so we see Joash in mourning. And as he was broken over Johidia's death, the princes came and they said, "Let us once again return to the groves and forget about God." Joash, who had been raised in the fear and admonition of God, turned his back and said, "I'm going the opposite direction than what my father, than what the one who raised me, Johidia, has taught me." And in so turning his back, he gave us one of the saddest pictures of a way to say thank you. For we see Joash owed everything to Johidia. Joash owed everything to God. Joash owed his kingdom to the ways that he had been raised in. Joash owed his very life to this man Johidia. Joash owed the presence of God. Joash owed the blessings that God had given him to Johidia. But instead of giving him the ways that he was raised, he turned his back and he said, "Thank you, but no thank you. I don't have to live this way now that you're gone. I don't have to live this way now that your influence has been left behind. But I can do what I want to do, for I am the king and this life is mine." But what a way to say thanks. What a way to say thanks. You see, some of us have been raised in the fear and admonition of God all of our lives. If you're like me, from the time I was 4 years old, I can remember the sisters shouting around the altars. I can remember the preacher preaching beneath the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I can tell you the very message that the preacher preached the night that I gave my life to the Lord at the age of 4 years old. I can tell you all these things. And I can tell you that God has been good to me every single day of my life. He's never failed me. I've never wanted. The Bible says that we've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging for bread. And I can say to this day that I stood upon the Word of God and that I have never, ever lacked. I have never wanted, but I have never once turned my back on God. For you see, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for all that God has done for me. But we are in a day and age, and Sister Collins spoke about it, that in the last days, the spirit of ungratefulness will be unleashed. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Oh, what a way to say thanks. I really do want to preach to you this morning. You see, the spirit of ungratefulness is one of the worst spirits that you could ever have. For it causes us to forget about anything good that has been given to us. It causes us to forget about anything good that God might have bestowed upon us. Those of us who have been raised around the church, those of you who were saved years ago, you know what it's like to come into the house of God and feel the touch of God and feel the anointing of God as it flows from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You know what it's like when the preacher takes the Word of God and preaches the Word and it pierces your heart and it plows you up and it causes you to break beneath the convicting power of God. You know what it's like, but are you thankful this morning? Are you thankful? Do we take the presence of God lightly, or do we fear God and tremble? Do we take the presence of God lightly, or do we come in with thanksgiving into His courts? Do we get to His gates with praise and magnify the Son of God? For Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. It's easy to forget all the things that God has done for us. It's easy to forget all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. For you see, we become entangled with the affairs of this world. So therefore, as we walk in our daily lives, we forget how that Sunday night we were down. We were depressed. We were hurting. But we walked in the back doors of the church and we said, God, I need your touch. God, I need your touch. And the God who was ever faithful met us at the altar and restored unto us the joy of our salvation. He mended the broken heart. But sometimes we forget and we become so entangled that we don't even take time to praise and thank the Savior. And we come to church with our minds in 100 different places. We come to church on Sunday morning and we say, I'm so tired. I don't even think I can lift my hands and worship the Lord, when all the time all the Master wants is for His people to lift their voices and magnify the Holy One. Why are we afraid? Why are we ungrateful? Some of us come to church and we sit on our pew. We lean back. Preacher's preaching his heart out. Do you have a shirt? Hey, what are we going to eat after church? Did you see that dress that she had on? Oh my. Did you hear what so-and-so did? Oh, look at them. They're crying. Their hands are in the air. They're getting blessed. Hey, but you know what? The Cardinals are playing tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. So ungrateful. So unthankful. Oh God, would to God that we would not offend the Spirit in the presence of God as it comes into the house of God. It's so easy for us to forget all that God has done for us. It's so easy for us to take the presence of God lightly because He's so merciful. He comes no matter what we do, even when we're not worthy, even when we're not pressing and we're not seeking the presence of God. He comes by and restores your soul. But today, if I could say a few word revival in this place, you'd better allow God to be uplifted and magnified in your heart. I can preach all I want. I can pray all I want. I can do anything that I can do. But it's up to you as a church to begin to magnify God and begin to uplift Him and begin to invite His presence into your life. Now you're looking at me like I'm crazy. There's not anyone in this church, including me, who can say we're as thankful to God as we ought to be. We prove it by the way we live every day. We prove it by the sin we allow in our lives. One of the greatest things, and it makes me so mad, it makes me righteously indignated. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Well, it makes me angry, and I do my best to sin not. But I look at young people, 18, 19, 20 years old, raised in the house of God, raised in the presence of God, who now sit on the pew and act like God isn't even something real. Act like God isn't even something holy. They're more interested in their boyfriend and their girlfriend, in the things that are going on outside the church. But young people, can I tell you this morning that there's a God in heaven who desires to hear your praise and desires to have your life consecrated in His mighty hand. Don't come to church with your mind on a jillion different things. Don't come to the house of God with your mind on... We come with our thoughts on the pleasures of the world. The Bible says that pleasures last for but a season. Hello? Let me tell you something. The summer's here. But when it's over, the next season is going to come. When winter's over, fall comes. What are you going to do when your season of pleasure is over? You see, the praises and a consecrated life to God isn't just for a season. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal. What you do outside these walls will affect you, but what you do inside these walls, what you commit to God inside this church house, what you give to God inside this church house, what you do for God in your everyday life, how many times you thank God, how many times you praise God, how many times you sing the praises of Zion will have an effect in eternity. Forever. Forever. And ever. I know that's hard to imagine. I've only been alive 20 years, and that seems like a long time to me. But forever. And ever. And ever. 20 times 20 times 20 times 20 times 20. Forever. I feel like I'm preaching to someone this morning. I never claimed to be a dynamic preacher. But church, God wants your praise. God wants your praise. I can do all that I can do. I have prayed, I have fasted, I have sought the face of God for this revival, and God wants your praise. God wants to see revival break out from the back doors to the pulpit, and He wants to see you enter in to the presence of God. But He's giving us a call this morning to magnify Him and worship His name. He inhabits the praises of His people. He inhabits the praises of His people. Take a trip with me, if you will, to a place called Calvary for a minute. It's dusty here, and it's hot. There's a crowd of people. And you see a man as he's bloody. He's beaten. He's whipped. His skin is hanging in ribbons. A crown of thorns is on his head. And a robe of purple is placed upon his back. He has a cross on his shoulder, and you can tell that he's weak and that he's dying. And you look and you say, you nudge the man next to you and you say, "Hey, who is that man?" And the man with tears in his eyes said, "For 3 years I've walked with that man. For 3 years I've talked with that man. For 3 years I've communed with that man." He said, "That man is the Son of God." And you look at him and you say, "What? You've got to be kidding me. That ripped, torn, bloody creature is the Son of God?" He says, "That man is the Son of God." You say, "Well, what's he doing? Ripped, torn, beaten, spit on, spit running down his face. If he's the Son of God and he has such great power, why does he not loose himself? The man looks at you and say, he's carrying the cross up this hot hill so that someday you can be free. He left the throne of glory for a dusty hill. He left the crown for a crown of thorns. He left the angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb," so that we could mock and spit on him. You say, why? And the man looks at you with the most serious look on his face, and he said, because he knew that you're a sinner and that it's only by his blood that the gates of heaven could be opened and you could have access to eternal life. And the verse of the Bible says, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Does the story sound far-fetched? Church, if we could get once again a picture of the crucifixion, if we could get once again a picture of all that Jesus Christ had done for us, of all that the blood of Jesus has done for us, how that we who were sin-stained and far off were made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ, we who were dangling over hell by a thin strand of life were transformed, put on the pathway to righteousness, put in robes of white, and we now have access to our throne of grace because of the blood. We would sing the praises of the Lamb. We would. Hallelujah. Maybe you didn't need this message. Maybe you don't even want to hear this message. But I did. I did. I want revival. I want revival in my heart. If I have to draw a box and stand in it and say, God, start revival in this box. If I have to stand alone, I will stand alone and lift up the praises to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For I am blood bought. I am redeemed. I have a hope in Christ Jesus. For I am looking for the day when the clouds shall split and the sound of a trump and with the voice of an archangel, he's going to call me home. And until that day, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. Joash killed Jehoiada's son, forgetting the kindness that Jehoiada had did for him. Out of his infinite love and kindness, God sent his son Jesus. But we forgot the kindness that he did for us, and we killed him. Can I just get down to brass tacks with you this morning? When you don't praise God, when you don't magnify God, you're sinning. When you come to the house of God and the songs of Zion are sung and the songs of the saints are sung and you just kind of lip sync them, you don't think about the words that are said, brother, you're on the close path to sin. For ungratefulness is listed in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 as the sin of the last day. The sin of the last day. Church, let's not be caught up. Let's not be caught up in sin. Let's not be caught up in ungratefulness. But let's be caught up in the praises of the one who bled and died and gave his life for us. Who did all that he could do for us. who gave us a man of God, who preaches the word of God, that cares about your family, that prays for your family. Let's thank God for all that He's done for us this morning. What a way. What a way to say thanks. I could take all. As a preacher, I can take this word of God. I can put the microphone down. I can take the tie off. And I can walk out the back door and never again take up the microphone and preach the word of God. But what a way to say thanks. I can come to the house of God. I can sit just like you. And I can look at the preacher and say, boy, he's excited about something. Boy, he's doing good, but I'm tired. He's doing good, but I think that I'm just going to look at him. And I really ain't getting on to you this morning. I don't want you to think that I am. But this is what the Lord laid on my heart. Don't leave it up to just the preacher. Hello? Let's give the Lord some thanks. Let's give the Lord some praise. Let's give the Lord some worship. Let's give the Lord some adoration. If you think He's worthy today, you'll act like it. If you think He's worthy today, I said you'll act like it. If you think that He's holy this morning and that He's worthy to be praised, you'll act like it. If you think that this church is a blessing, if you love this church and you love the presence of God, you'll act like it. If you love Jesus Christ with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul, you'll act like it this morning. I said you'll act like it this morning. You'll loosen your vocal cords. You'll lift up your hands, and you'll begin to magnify the Son of God. You'll begin to praise the Son of God. You'll begin to lift your thanks to the Son of God. You'll begin to let the presence of God touch your life, touch your heart. You'll begin to lift up holy hands and magnify the Lord. Can we magnify Him this morning? Hallelujah. He's worthy this morning. He's worthy this morning. Stand to your feet this morning across this building. Hallelujah. Regardless of what you think, His presence is here this morning. And He's here to give us the first start of revival. He's here to give us the first start of the presence of God, breaking every fetter, loosing every bond, and giving us the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. But lift your heads and invite Him. Invite Him. Praise Him. Worship Him. And magnify His name. Tell Him that you love Him this morning. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. What a way to say thanks. Hallelujah. this morning. I said He's worthy this morning. The presence of God isn't something that we take lightly. When the children of Israel brought the ark of God back into the camp, David, the Bible says, went before it. And I can just see him now. He began to dance. The Bible says he began to dance. And he began to dance. And they began to play upon their tambourines. And I can just see the children of Israel as they were bringing the ark home. And every six steps they would stop. And they would say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the ark." What they were saying was, "Thank you for the presence of God." What they were saying was, "Thank you for the presence of the Almighty One." Would to God today that we would get that excited about the presence of God Almighty, that every six steps we took, we would begin to magnify and worship the Lord. That every time we stood to testify, it would be with the praise upon our lips. Hallelujah. Maybe you're not feeling it like I'm feeling it, but I'm feeling it this morning. For you see, I'm thankful for all that God has done for me. I said I'm thankful for all that God has done for me. I got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 8 years old. He's kept me from sin. He's kept me from iniquity. But more than that, He's given me a Pentecostal heritage. He's given me a right to shout. He's given me a right to praise. I'm thankful this morning. I say I'm thankful. Are you thankful this morning? Are you thankful? The children of Israel were so thankful for the presence of God. David was their leader. And the Bible says that he danced before the Lord. Would to God that there were some Davids in this place. Would to God that there were some people who at the presence of God would obey the voice of the Lord, who at the presence of God would begin to magnify and would begin to worship God Almighty. But I'm afraid that there's some of you that are like Michael, his wife, that stood in the window and said, "What in the world are you doing? What in the world are you doing? Are you crazy? You looked vile and you looked wretched." I'm sure that some of you are looking at me saying, "What in the world is this crazy man preaching?" I got news for you. It's going to get even worse than this. I'm going to get even crazier than this, because I believe that God wants to let His presence saturate this place. And no matter what the cost, no matter what the price, I want to be thankful when He comes. Thankful. Come to the piano, please, sister. I don't know if you know this chorus or not. I'm going to sing it and you pick it up. It's real easy. Ain't God good to give so many blessings, so undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to love, praise, and thank Him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Well, ain't God good to give so many blessings, so undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to love, praise, and thank Him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Sing it with me. Ain't God good to give so many blessings, so undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to love, we'll praise and thank Him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good to give so many blessings, so undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to love, we'll praise and thank Him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Hallelujah. Are you thankful this morning? Are you thankful this morning? Ain't God good? Isn't God good? Hallelujah. I'd like to invite us all to come around these altars this morning and let's thank God for what He's done for us. Let's thank God. Let's thank God this morning.